This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. American evangelical groups want to send missionaries to Iraq to do humanitarian work and proselytize. But this raises the question, if evangelical missionaries tried to convert Iraqi Muslims, will that contradict President Bush's message that our war against terrorism is not a war against Islam? A little later, we're going to talk with Charles Kimball, a Baptist minister who has reservations about evangelizing in Iraq. He's chair of the Department of Religion at Wake Forest University and author of When Religion Becomes Evil. Our first guest, R. Albert Mohler, believes it's important for missionaries to evangelize in Iraq. Mohler is an ordained minister and is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the flagship school of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was recently described in Time magazine as the reigning intellectual of the evangelical movement in the U.S. Would you like to see Southern Baptists go into Iraq?
Well, I would certainly like to see evangelical Christians go into Iraq and every other nation in the name of Christ and with the most sensitive presentation of Christian truth, along with a very urgent need and desire to meet the most basic human needs of the people in that area. So the answer would be yes. I do hope to see in Iraq, as in other nations of the world, a freedom, a spiritual religious freedom, what we call in this nation religious liberty for persons to worship God in the way they see fit according to the law, and we would like to tell them about the gospel.
Are you concerned at all that that Christian evangelism and that trying to convert Muslims to Christianity will be perceived in Iraq as a lack of respect for Islam?
Well, that is a very good question. And, of course, it plays out not only in Iraq with the question of Islam, but anywhere else in the world. The Christian gospel is the good news about salvation, which is accomplished on our behalf by God through Christ, and that salvation is offered to all who believe in his name. And, of course, there are very many religions of the world. What makes Christianity distinctive is that there is nothing you can do to be saved. The work of salvation is accomplished by Christ. What we are called upon to do in response is to believe and to repent of our sins and to exercise the gift of faith in Christ. And you raise the question, which is very sensitive. This means telling people that according to what we believe, that God has told us in his word, that what they believe presently is wrong. And, you know, that will be felt by some persons as disrespectful, and especially as religion, as is present and through centuries in so many of these lands, comes so deeply embedded in the culture. Of course, those sensitivities will always be present. But it was that way when the first Christians began witnessing to the gospel in the first century.
Do you understand why some people are concerned about evangelical Christians going into Iraq and trying to convert Muslims when the president has said that this war isn't an anti-Islamic war, it was an anti-Saddam Hussein war?
Well, I do think that extreme sensitivity is called for here, but I fully expect that there will be evangelical missionaries from many other nations of the world so that it will not be an American effort, but a Christian effort. But I'm not naive. I understand the political context of which you speak, and it is clear. I think that it is incumbent upon us to make very clear, as Christians will be in Iraq or in any other nation of the world, that we are not there in the name of the American government, nor, frankly, representing the American people. We're there in the name of Christ. Christianity is trans-ethnic, trans-political, trans-national, and that is essential to the Christian gospel. But, you know, Terry, with all due respect, I think the question can be turned around to say, what would it mean if Christian missionaries were not allowed to go into that land? It would mean perhaps nothing less, or it could be reducible to the fact that the Iraqi people are not going to be granted the same kind of freedom that we have in this country. In this country, we have so much spiritual freedom that anyone, frankly, can knock on our door, and if you turn on the radio, there's no telling what you will hear. The people of Iraq have been hearing one message. They've been hearing only one version. They've been propagandized and brutally oppressed for all of these years. If they're really going to taste freedom, freedom means hearing what others have to say and then making their own decisions based upon what they hear.
Does religious liberty mean to you the right to practice any religion, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, or does religious liberty mean to you the right to practice Christianity?
No, religious liberty means freedom of conscience, and that is especially true in the freedom of the conscience spiritually. And so I would contend, as an American who believes in religious liberty, for the right of my Jewish neighbor to practice Judaism if that is his heartfelt belief and conviction, and the same for every other a citizen of this nation, regardless of his or her spiritual convictions. But that does not mean that any of us would have the right to say, I will not hear what another believes. And as Christians, we have a responsibility to share the gospel, but we do not believe in evangelism by coercion, much less by legislation.
Franklin Graham, who is the son of Billy Graham and the head of the missionary group Samaritan's Purse, he has described Islam as a wicked religion. Do you agree with that?
Well, as a Christian, I would have to say that I believe that any belief system, whether it's Islam or any other form of world philosophy or worldview that leads away from the cross of Christ and toward another way of ultimate meaning, is indeed wicked and evil in that it leads unto spiritual death rather than unto spiritual life. I think we have to be careful, because what we are, of course, not saying is that Muslims are evil or that all Muslims represent an ambition to be a terrorist or that kind of mode of life. But we have to be honest and say that I believe it is a horrible thing when one turns away from the gospel of Christ and turns to anything else. And in our current context, Islam is, as you might say, one of the major competitors to Christianity for the convictions and the souls of human beings around the world. And so there is an opposition between Christianity and Islam, and there has been for so long as Islam has existed.
I think one of the concerns that other people involved with aid work have is that if evangelical Christian missionaries go into Iraq with the idea of trying to convert Muslims to Christianity, because Christianity is the only true way, then other relief workers and aid workers, particularly other relief and aid workers who are Christian, might also be perceived as proselytizers, even if they are not there to convert, and that they might be treated with suspicion or skepticism by Muslims because of that, and in fact that they might even be endangered by people who are hostile to the idea of conversion.
I guess that remains to be seen. I would say, first of all, that there's good evidence on the ground in Iraq that anyone who is perceived as Western might face a certain resistance, and because so many things are read into the intention of any Westerner, much less American evangelical. And so certainly there could be some real confusion there. I think it will take time for the Iraqi people to understand what we are about and to trust that. I think, again, it comes down to the fact that evangelical Christians have been about this task for centuries. And, you know, it's interesting that as recently as the military operation in Afghanistan, Christian organizations were in the front line of trying to rebuild that country. And Samaritan's Purse, you've mentioned, and missionary agencies were there to set up food service facilities and medical hospitals and other emergency provisions. And it's interesting that no one seems to have protested that. It's only now with Iraq. And I think in many ways this is a symptom of a secular age, all of a sudden awakening to the fact that there are people who believe in the gospel who really hope to see persons convert to Christianity. We do not believe as Christians that religion is, that faith is tribal or national. And so we're not seeking to convert countries, but individuals to Christ.
President Bush quoted Scripture before the war in Iraq. What's your reaction when you hear the president quote Scripture?
Well, I think we have to be very careful, and I have tremendous admiration for this president, and as I've come to know him, I have great respect for his spiritual and deep Christian convictions. I do think that the commander-in-chief has to be very careful not to be the theologian-in-chief, and yet when he quotes Scripture, I think the American people recognize in that Scripture a part of our own heritage. And, of course, as you look back through presidents of the United States, you'll find that most of them have quoted Scripture at one time or another. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, even Lyndon Johnson, and all the way through President Bush. So this really is not only not unprecedented, it's really not unusual.
Would you like to go to Iraq yourself?
I would. I look forward to the day when I could visit that country, and I hope that when I arrive there, I would find a healthy, vibrant society where all the liberties of the citizens of that land are respected, and they have order and prosperity, and I hope there's also the freedom to bear witness to the gospel, to tell people about Jesus Christ, and to have the kinds of freedoms there that we enjoy here.
Do you know what the Southern Baptist Convention is trying to do now to get approval to send its representatives into Iraq?
No, I do not, and I cannot speak on behalf of our mission board and its operations. I will say again that putting all this aside in terms of what may happen in the immediate months or weeks following the military action, Christians historically, driven by the gospel and by the command of our Lord, do not ask for permission. And so you will find Christian missionaries all over the world where no permission is granted, and that's been true from the first century until now.
So are you suggesting that you'd like to see Southern Baptist missionaries go into Iraq even if permission is not granted?
Well, I guess I'd have to wonder again, who would presume to grant such permission? I don't understand the concept. No one has to have permission to come to the United States to as a missionary, either ascending or a receiving on that basis. And so I presume perhaps you're speaking of some immediate term following the military action, but eventually it'll be in the hands of the Iraqi government, and then mission agencies and Christians will have to decide how they will deal with that.
Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Well, the Christians who are seeking to go to Iraq or to any other nation with the gospel are driven because they really believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by Him. Those who, from, for instance, the Protestant left or who are Christians who differ with us, have to explain how they will be faithful to the gospel in that way. We do not offer Christianity as one option among many, any as good as any other. The gospel tells us that Jesus is the only way, and that's why we are driven by a real compulsion to be obedient to the command of the Lord. And those who critique us, I wish they would be honest in telling the people in their own pews that they really do not believe that Jesus is the only way, because I think they would find that most of the people who are in the pews of their churches really believe what we believe when we go into the world with the gospel.
How do you reconcile your sense that there's only one true faith, and that's Christianity, with the idea of pluralism?
Well, that is a difficult question.
Pluralism and diversity, which is one of the basic building blocks of democracy.
Well, it is in one very real sense, and that is a respect for the necessity of pluralism as a constitutional reality. That is, I respect that the only way that religious freedom really is religious freedom is if others have a right to disagree with me and to worship as they see fit and to organize their own assemblies and have their own denominations and all the rest, to live according to their own creed. But that does not mean that I'm glad to see them following another way. It means I have the right to witness to them. But again, I do not believe in evangelism by coercion nor by legislation. And so, this runs right up against, I recognize, one of the main creedal affirmations of the modern age, which is that different is good. Well, different is different, that's for sure. But we are driven as Christians by the hope to see every single man and woman and young person come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there still will be differences because Christianity is transnational, transcultural. In the book of Revelation, we're given a picture of all those who come to Christ in that end day, and they're from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. And that's the kind of pluralism that the Christian seeks on the authority of God's Word.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Terry, you've asked some very good questions about a very urgent issue, and I'm very glad to have been on your program.
R. Albert Mohler is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Coming up, Baptist minister Charles Kimball, author of When Religion Becomes Evil, expresses his concerns about evangelizing in Iraq.